Merry Christmas to you all. Good morning and very warm welcome to you to this service of public worship here at Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland. Today is the first Sunday or the second Christmas day, and it's also the first Sunday after Christmas and the last Sunday of the year 2021. On behalf of the Kirk Session and the congregation, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. With us this morning is one of my colleagues from Cameroon, the Reverend Chair Julius. He is a student at ASUAS at the University of London doing development studies, so he's visiting with us this time of Christmas. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. He rises at one end of the heavens and makes it circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. We worship God. Our first hymn this morning, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come, 320. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever-living God, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for the rest of the night and for the light of another new day. Make us ready to serve you and vigilant to do your will. Keep us from falling into sin or running into any kind of danger, and order us in all our doings that we may do that which is right and is pleasing in your sight. We thank you for the birth of Jesus Christ, for his incarnation, and for the celebrations that went on yesterday and would continue still today and in the days to come. We are grateful, O God, for the provision out of your hand to to satisfy both our physical but also our spiritual hunger. We pray, O God, for any who did not find this celebration worthwhile because of particular circumstances. We think of those who are suffering in parts of the world and were not able to celebrate. And so as we gather to worship this morning, we ask that you would accept us and our worship and our prayers on behalf of ourselves and of others. And now, O merciful Father, we bring before you our many sins, those known and those unknown. We ask, O merciful Father, confessing that you would forgive us and make us anew and fit for purpose as we worship and evangelize your word. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Come Children, Join and Sing, 185.
Our first reading this morning is from Proverbs, reading chapter 8, verses 32 to 36. Let's hear what the Lord has to say to us today in his holy word. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves, and all who hate me love death. We read also from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Amen. And may God bless us as we read his word and we give him all the glory and the praise.
O come, all ye faithful. Our next hymn is 306. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, We thank you for your word that comes to strengthen, to change, and to transform our lives. As we speak and listen to you this morning, Father, we ask that you would open our hearts, that we may accept your word for our lives, now and forevermore. Amen. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. This morning, I want us to speak on the theme of God's family. And those words from Proverbs are the kind of words that a father will speak to his children, or a mother would speak to her children. One of the most beautiful things within the providence of God is that we can not choose our parents. We owe so much to them in every aspect of our makeup, even though we might often be tempted to wish that things were other than they are. For example, the nose a little smaller, shorter, or longer, we would wish for it to be that way. Or the height a little bit taller, or even shorter, or the frame or body size a little smaller or even bigger. But the fact is that we cannot avoid being like our parents, and that is a proof of our relationship with them. I know some would argue that there are cases where you have to struggle to find the resemblance between children and parents. But in most cases, the proof is pretty straightforward. Now, it is also good and important to recognize, even in our genetic inheritance, the overarching sovereignty of Almighty God. As King David did in one of his great psalms of praise when he affirmed, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." What we all accept in the matter of physical descent and resemblances between family members, the Apostle John now applies in terms of our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father. In this realm, equally, likeness is the proof of relationship. If we say we are God's children, born of Him, we are to prove it by our godliness. And here John means at least three things. The first is a relationship of love with our Father. The love between God and us is one in which He takes all the initiative to make us His children. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the kind of love that gives lavishly and freely to those who are utterly undeserving. When we contemplate our sin and rebellion against the background of God's unapproachable light, His total holiness, we begin to sense something of John's wonder that He should ever bother with people like us. Yet the love of God delights to change rebels into children who belong to the family. And that is what grace does. That unmerited favor, because He loved us even when we did not love Him. And then secondly, there is within that relationship a responsibility of trust. John here returns to a theme which he outlined in chapter 2, verse 29. The new relationship brought about by God's love through the new birth will show itself in the practical evidence of a righteous life. If all our future expectation is centered on Christ, then we shall want to be as much like him as we can be now. And we can do that by developing a program of personal holiness. If heaven is our destination, we must be traveling the road that leads there. And then thirdly and finally, a reflection of the Father in our lifestyle, verses 2 to 4 of 1 John. Again, John returns us to his insistence that living as children of God means a clean break with sin. Every time we sin, we break God's law, which is a reflection of his perfect character and will. And any deviation from God's instructions is an act of lawlessness, which shows our heart attitude towards God. In this regard, fellowship with a sinless Savior and continuance in our sins are mutually contradictory. No compromise is possible. Now, dear friends, the logical conclusion we are to draw is that we cannot expect to be confident on that day when we see Christ if we are complacent about sin in our lives here and now, and if our relationship with God Almighty is not right. John the Apostle says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us." It is the love that we celebrate at Christmas time, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. But the evidence of our relationship with God should be in the relationship of love that we have with our Father, because we acknowledge that he loves us. And he loves us so much that he sent his Son into this world. And our love towards him should also be made manifest through our own personal holiness, through sinless lives. Because when we sin, we are going against the very principles of the one we call Father. And that is disrespect. No respectful child would like to disrespect the parents. See what love God has for us as we continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Let us give ourselves to him in the way we live and in the way we relate with one another, and may love be our watchword. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, you have shown us that you love us by sending your Son into the world to be like us, to live with us, to know us. We pray for times, O Father, when we have not returned that love to you and even to fellow people. And by so doing, we have not accepted our place as members of your family. Father, bring us back to you. Strengthen our faith in you. And may our walk with you, O Father, bring glory to your most high name. Amen. Hark, the herald angels sing, 301. Let us pray. Most merciful and ever-living God, accept the offering which we bring to you now. Bless its use for the furtherance of the gospel and for the service of humanity. We bring our gifts of money, but we also bring ourselves. Hear us as we pray in faith for ourselves, for others, and for the world. We thank you for the lives you've given us and for all that we enjoy out of the abundance of your grace. We thank you for home and family, for friends and all those who are near and dear to us, for the ways in which they bless us and the ways in which we bless them too. We ask that you continue to keep us safe from the hand of the enemy and bless all that we do. We pray for your church here on earth and for its witness in the world, that all may be one. Help us in our witness, O Father, to acknowledge your greatness in our lives and also to serve people without fear. We thank you for our congregation and for our parish here in Newport on Tay, for all the work that goes on in this church and in the community. We pray, O God, that you bless our efforts as we reach out to people. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for our country, the United Kingdom. We ask for your blessings upon the Queen, the Prime Minister, and members of government, the First Minister of Scotland, that with justice and peace they would rule us, so that righteousness will continue to be part of our lives as we enjoy the abundance that can come only from you. And now, Father, we bring before you other parts of the world. We think again of Cameroon and the Anglophone crisis. We think of protracted wars in the Middle East. We ask, O Father, that at this time, when the Prince of Peace comes into the world, peace will find its way in all these problem places. Faithful God, you have promised that if we ask, we would receive, and if we seek, we would find. And so now we also, in a moment of silence, bring our individual needs to you. And now we pray for others whose life stories are a burden even to our own selves. We pray for our brother Elijah Ka, who is currently struggling with mental health issues. Father, we use him as a contact point for many other students who have come from different countries to study here and who sometimes find themselves in similar situations. We pray, O God, that Elijah would be able to accept the help that is being offered him and that you would heal him speedily. Father, may your name be glorified in our lives. As we bring our prayers to you, knowing that you are always more ready to answer than we are to pray. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we've offered our prayers and our thanksgiving. Amen. If you are able, please rise and together let's affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close by singing hymn 313, See in Yonder Manger Low. in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.